We begin in Raleigh, where the state house yesterday officially signed off on a bill to expand Medicaid, with most Republicans joining all Democrats in support. That bill now heads to the Senate, though, where it may stall. Republicans there say they're in favor of Medicaid expansion, but only if it's attached to other health care industry reforms. Speaking of health care, Blue Cross Blue Shield officially filed an appeal yesterday, challenging North Carolina's decision to switch to Aetna for its state employee health plan starting in 2025. Blue Cross has administered that plan for more than 40 years. Also yesterday, the state Senate approved a bill that would allow residents to buy handguns without having to get a permit from their county sheriff. That bill now heads to the House. Supporters say that requirement is redundant because gun buyers are still subject to federal background checks, but opponents say the federal check only applies to purchases from gun dealers. Closer to home, the search continues in Pittsburgh for a new town manager to replace Chris Kennedy, who stepped down back in September. That's dragged on longer than expected, as an initial call for applications ended with no hires last fall, and the town is now on its second interim manager, with Larry Faison succeeding Hazen Blodgett. But now with a new set of applicants, town officials say they're hopeful they can finally wrap up the search this spring. Here's Mayor Cindy Perry speaking this week with 97.9 The Hill's Andrew Stuckey.
We have narrowed the 28 applications we got down to 12, and then when we meet this week, we will narrow it down further to 5, and then a special assessment process will go on in the first week in March for those 5, and then we'll choose 1, 2, or 3 to have face-to-face interviews with. So I would like to think that we could probably have a candidate by the beginning of April, but they may need to give notice to their current employer before they can come on to us. So it will probably be May, maybe June.
This is round 2 of the hiring process for a long-term town manager, but I feel like you're more confident or optimistic that there will be a hire this time than there maybe was in round 1. Is that an accurate reading?
I think it is. We do feel like this is a particularly good group. We did have a couple of people from the first group reapply. We're using the same agency that has helped us in the past, and this second time around replicates exactly what they did the first time around. It's just that the two people that we chose to offer the position to did not wish to come, not because of anything that we were offering, but because of their own personal situations.
That's Pittsburgh Mayor Cindy Perry there. You can get the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. Now to the schools, where Chapel Hill-Carrboro district officials have issued a statement condemning hate speech, specifically anti-Semitic hate speech. The letter from Superintendent Nia Hamlet and Deputy Superintendent Rodney Trice came after parents spoke out at this week's board meeting about numerous anti-Semitic incidents at Culbreth Middle School over the last few months, including multiple cases of graffiti targeting specific students. Over to campus now, where debate continues over the UNC Board of Trustees resolution urging the university to fast-track a new School of Civic Life and Leadership designed to add more conservative faculty members. That resolution sparked controversy partly because of the politics, but partly because faculty members say they weren't consulted or notified before the resolution was introduced. WRAL reporting the UNC Faculty Council will consider a resolution opposing that new school when they meet later today. And finally, congratulations are in order for 2 members of Carolina Connection, the student-run newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media that airs Saturdays on 97.9 The Hill. Brianna Atkinson and Sophie Mallinson took 2nd and 3rd, respectively, in the qualification round of the Hearst Journalism Awards, earning them a trip to California later this year to participate in a national competition. Brianna Atkinson's also a reporter with us here at WCHL, and here is one of her winning stories, set at Jordan Lake during the holiday season and featuring a lot of birds.
While many people spend the first morning of the year sleeping off their New Year's toast, Tom Driscoll wakes up with the birds.
Here's the little bird. Stop, stop, stop. Psh!
As he stands on a rocky road near Pittsburgh with his binoculars pointed up at the sky, he mimics a predator sound.
Psh!
He says the sound attracts more birds.
Birds are funny. Instead of flying away when they hear a predator call, they want to see what kind of predator is. So pishing sometimes allows you to see what birds are nearby.
Just like that isn't any ordinary bird call, this isn't any ordinary day of bird watching. more than 50 people woke up early to participate in the Jordan Lake Christmas Bird Count, one of many counts worldwide.
It used to be people went out and shot birds at Christmas just to do it. They didn't even always eat them. And so some smarter people started the Audubon Society and said, we need to quit shooting birds indiscriminately and we need to start counting birds.
On count day, the birders split into small groups, each responsible for a different area to search.
So there's some more bluebirds up there and there's some more robins.
They cover part of it by car and the other on foot.
Oh, there's a hawk flying low. Oh, it might be an owl.
Whenever they see or hear a bird, they mark it on a species chart. In Driscoll's group, Laura Lips is in charge of keeping track.
Are you sure that's not a shrike?
Where are you looking?
On the stump to the left of the blackbirds that just flew.
Oh.
Am I crazy?
It was indeed a loggerhead shrike, a bird so rare that Lips had to use a special section of the species chart to record it.
Laura!
A decade ago, this bird wasn't so rare. It used to be abundant in North Carolina, but like many other open field species, it's declined over the years.
They're really hurting.
Norman Budnitz is the compiler of the Jordan Lake count data and has been participating in bird counts for 60 years.
Farming practices have changed. Encroachment by housing developments have made those areas not as big as they used to be, and a lot of those birds need a lot of space.
Budnitz says shifting trends like this are why Christmas bird counts are so important. The data collected from them is used nationally. It shows how populations are declining and tells conservationists which birds need help.
In the last 50 years, something like a third of the birds of North America have disappeared. Well, the way we know that is because of all of these Christmas bird counts and spring bird counts and other things like this. Okay? Did anybody see any Canada geese?
Yes.
Wood ducks?
While spotting rare species is exciting, it isn't the only thing that brings birders out to brave the cold weather in early mornings each year. It's also the count's scientific importance, the community it builds, and just the love of birds and the great outdoors. At Jordan Lake, I'm Brianna Atkinson.
You can head to our website, chapelboro.com, to get more local news, including the latest in an annual tradition, a dance video from the UNC Children's Hospital to celebrate their staff and ring in the new year. Sports now brought to you by the Sheraton Chapel Hill. Disappointing loss last night for UNC women's basketball as the Tar Heels blew a 10-point lead with 4 minutes and 15 seconds left to play and lost in overtime to NC State, 77-66. Outside shooting was an issue. Carolina shot just 16% from three-point range. More pressing, though, Carolina was playing shorthanded yet again with Alyssa Ustby and Ava Hodgson still out with injuries. Still, the Heels had a chance to get a big road win before just running out of gas at the end. Afterwards, head coach Courtney Banghart disappointed but upset. Here's what she had to say.
Just a great game. Obviously, we're pretty undermanned. We got a lot of experience sitting on the bench. Thought our young guys called us the fine nine today. I thought we had, until we came unglued there at the very, very late in the game, they really did a great job to battle and give us a good chance.
Tar Heels back in action Sunday, hosting Wake Forest at 4. Today's a big day for UNC sports, starting with the season opener for Tar Heel baseball, game one of a three-game set against Seton Hall, 4 p.m. today in Boshammer Stadium. UNC softball is also at home this weekend, hosting Minnesota and Maryland in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, starting with Minnesota at 5:30 tonight. UNC men's tennis gets underway in the ITA National Team Indoor Championships at 1 p.m. today in Chicago. They're the 10th seed taking on 7th seed Southern Cal. Tar Heel gymnastics in Washington, D.C. tonight for a quad meet with George Washington, Temple, and Yale. UNC wrestling is at NC State tonight at 7, and the ACC Swimming and Diving Championships continue in Greensboro. Senior men's diver Anton Down Jenkins was the star yesterday for UNC, picking up his second silver medal in 3 days by taking second in the men's 3-meter springboard. Tomorrow, the spotlight's on top-ranked UNC women's lacrosse, hosting 7th-ranked Florida at noon. And then the men's lacrosse team is in action Sunday on the road at NC State. And, of course, Sunday's a big day for UNC basketball. The women taking on Wake Wake Forest at 4. I mentioned that already. And the UNC men still desperately looking for a big win with just a handful of games left in the regular season. Have their next chance to do it on Sunday when they head to Raleigh to take on NC State. Tip-off time there is 1 p.m. We'll have it all for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, beginning at 11:30 with Countdown to Tip-Off. And finally, in hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes scored 4 times in the third period last night to pull away for a 6-2 win over Montreal. Carolina's back in action tomorrow, and this is the one Canes fans have been waiting for, the Stadium Series game at Carter-Finley Stadium, with Carolina hosting the Washington Capitals at 8. The Canes are hosting a fan fest from 11 to 9 today in downtown Raleigh, celebrating 25 years of Hurricanes hockey and getting fans ready for tomorrow night's big outdoor game.